The Gary Knoll Show, daily at noon on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's The Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Today, no guest, because we're going to give more attention to health, nutrition, healing, and social commentary, the issues that are important to all of us, but we're not focusing on it. I'll be giving a commentary from Bill McKibben, who's been on this program many times, a link between climate change and Joplin tornadoes. Never, you say? Well, we're going to challenge that. Jim Hightower, privatization, the road to hell. John Feller, Obama, the surrender wife. It's time for the United States to change its submissive relationship with Israel. Dennis Kucinich, saying no to permanent global war. Dennis, you're in the wrong place to say that. We know how much our Congress loves war because they can't say no to perpetual funding and creating war. So we have a lot to talk about, but I'm going to begin with something that not everyone heard yesterday because not everyone was listening to this particular program. Many were celebrating the Bob Dylan's birthday and listening to music and testimonials to his unique creativity. We, on the other hand, were doing something a little different. We invited a person on the air, Larry Joseph, award-winning journalist, hard-hitting journalist, reporting for Discovery, New York Times, etc., who talked about something that you would have thought would have been right out of the Day After Tomorrow film, an apocalyptic film. But it had nothing to do with the Mayan calendar. It had nothing to do with biblical statements. This was pure science. We talked about the giant breach in the Earth's magnetic field, how it was just discovered. NASA's five Themis spacecraft have discovered a breach in the Earth's magnetic field 10 times larger than anyone previously thought to exist. Why is that important? Solar wind can flow in through the opening to load up the magnetosphere for powerful geomagnetic storms. But the breach itself is not the biggest surprise. Researchers are even more amazed at the strange and unexpected way it forms, which virtually overturns all ideas about space physics. This is from David Sybeck of the Goddard Space Flight Center. Quote, "At first, I didn't believe it. This finding fundamentally alters our understanding of the solar wind magnetosphere in a reaction." Now, let me just put this in lay language. The magnetosphere is a bubble of magnetism that surrounds our Earth and protects us from solar wind. Exploring the bubble is a key goal of the Themis mission, which was launched back in 2007. And so when these five probes serendipitously flew through the breach just as it was opening, and onboard sensors recorded a torrent of solar wind particles streaming into the sphere, signaling an event of unexpected size and importance. Here's what a Dr. Lee, the space physicist at the University of New Hampshire, said. Quote, "The opening was huge, four times wider than the Earth itself." And to punctuate this, he says, quote, that is, 10 particles per second were flowing into the sphere. That's one followed by 27 zeros. This kind of influx is an order of magnitude greater than what we thought was possible. So why should you be concerned? Well, because that has led to other considerations. Now, here's what we discussed in depth. I won't be repeating this on an upcoming show, but you can go to the archives at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, listen to the second half of yesterday's show to hear the interview. Here's what the White House, your members of Congress, left and right, the left media, and the right media have refused to discuss. Solar storms are coming at us. According to NASA and the U.S. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, Catherine Sullivan and others, quote, we should prepare for potentially devastating effects from these storms, which are caused by massive explosions on the sun. Now, solar storms release particles that can temporarily disable or permanently destroy fragile computer circuits. Now, Dr. Sullivan, a former NASA astronaut, who in 1984 became the first woman to walk in space, told a UN weather conference in Geneva, quote, it is not a question of if, but really a matter of when a major solar event could hit our planet. And by the way, she's not alone. Because I'm doing this major documentary, and it's taken me 7 years, because it can't be done in one documentary. I'm doing it as a series. It's called The 12 Tipping Points. In fact, I've been filming, and just in the next 3 weeks, I have to go off to the Amazon and South America and Antarctica and some other places to film. This is a whole new wrinkle, because we knew we had four of the 12 tipping points that are going to tip, and there's nothing we can do about it. So what can we do to prepare for that? The others we can interface with. This solar storm wasn't one of those 12 tipping points, but this solar storm is going to be worse than anything that's ever happened to any human being or civilization in Earth's history, as far as humans being here. What's it mean? Well, it means that there's a great chance of disruption from space, and it's getting stronger because the sun is entering the most active period of its 11 to 12 year natural cycle. The world got a taste of the sun's explosive power in February when the strongest solar eruption in 5 years sent a torrent of charged plasma hurtling towards Earth at 580 miles per second. The storm created spectacular disruptions in aura, and the radio communications were affected. But they're not new. The first major solar flare was recorded by British astronomer Richard Carrington in 1869, and other solar geomagnetic storms have been observed in recent decades. According to NASA, one huge solar flare in 1972 cut off long-distance telephone communications in the Midwestern state of Illinois. And another similar flare in 1989 provoked geomagnetic storms that disrupted electric power transmissions and caused blackouts across the Canadian province of Quebec. However, those are not even in the same league of what we're talking about. Let me give an example of what's likely to happen. The entire northeast part of the United States, the grids, the electrical grids, those gigantic wires that traverse America, are going to be fried. All right? Well, can't we turn them off before the storm hits? Trouble is, we won't know exactly when they're hitting. It would only be a matter of minutes to seconds warning, not weeks. So it's not like you can turn everything off and then wait and turn it all back on again. So, okay, then let's go to plan B. What can we do to immediately have equipment and backup systems so when it does happen, we can repair it as quickly as possible? All right, good idea. There are gigantic units that can be put into place. They weigh approximately 100,000 tons each. They are enormous. All right? Well, so is a giant battleship, but we make them and we get them in the water. And so is a skyscraper. We can build it. Yes, they are built. All right, good. That's good news. So we can have a backup. Yeah, if we started today, they would be ready for us 2 years after the storm happens. There's a 3-year waiting list. They're made in China and Korea. So in other words, even if we chose to acknowledge what's going to be happening to us, we wouldn't have the backup systems. That's correct. Well, then there's got to be a plan C. Well, there is. We could put a unit about the size of a washing machine, and we could put about 3,500 of them around all of our grids, which would be surge protectors. it would cost about $1.3 billion. But that's something that's doable now, and we have the money to do it, and we have the technology to do it, and we don't have a long waiting list. Those are also made in China. All right? Well, then, let's do it. Good. But the Republicans don't believe in any of this. They don't believe. See, the trouble is when you've lied long so much as these pathologically dysfunctional systems of belief have, then you no longer know the truth. And unfortunately, the Democrats are just as pathological in their incapacity to be in alignment with truth. So both the Democrats and Republicans, you know, you got your George Soros on one side, and you've got your Koch brothers on the other side, and these are the class of the megalomaniac titans who control through their little milksop, intellectually deficient groups, the political dialogue and debate. And that's why on Racial Matter and these other shows, you only hear what these people theme are important talking issues. Why isn't no one has talked about what I'm talking about, which is far more important, the end of life as we know it. On the back end of it, I'm expecting 30 million Americans to die within 3 months for a simple reason. When you fry the grid, here's what happens. Northeast, Middle America, Northwest. No electricity. Okay, well, we have hurricanes and tornadoes. They knock out electricity, and by God, the next day the guys are out there. Yes, and they have electricity and backup units to do it. Any car that's on is going to have its engine fried. What about water? Every drop of water that you get in the United States, if you're living in cities or suburban areas, comes from either city water, a pump, a well, artesian well. But it takes an electrical jolt to get the water pump to pump the water up against gravity into your faucet. No more water. Well, gasoline will go to the country. Yeah, you're going to walk it, bike it, because you're not going to drive it. Because where are you going to get your gasoline? Gasoline in those 10,000-gallon holding tanks come from underneath the ground, and it's an electrical pump that pumps up your gas or any form of petrol, including diesel. Okay. Well, I'll hunker down. I'll wait it out. I'm sure that FEMA and the others, FEMA is only capable of helping a limited number of people, several thousand at most, with daily rations. Now, where are you going to get the rations? There's no communications. How are you going to communicate? All computers, all cell phones, all satellites, all airplanes, all ships, out of business. They all work on navigational systems. So how are you going to have someone who needs help getting help? You're going to do what? Send a carrier pigeon? Because you're not going to be able to get a message. You're going to go out in the street and say, hey, I just had to walk down because my elevator's not working. And, yeah, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. I can't get any of the radios off. Television's off. My cell phone doesn't work. Is this something temporary? Will this come back on in an hour? Is this that long day in New York City that many of us endured in that summer when the blackout? No, this is going to last weeks to months, and the grid's going to take anywhere from 5 to 10 years to completely repair. I see. So what about the food? Well, the food will last anywhere from 2 to 4 days before it goes bad. All frozen food's going to melt. No freezers, no refrigerators. Then, by God, we better get to a store and get water and food. Sorry. Remember when those hurricanes came and all the stores were empty? Building materials and then food and water and generators. Well, unless you have a lot of gasoline and generators, you're not going to have anything. Hospitals, patients are all going to die who are on any form of emergency care. They'll all die. There'll be frustration. There'll be anger. That's when the Republicans should go hide someplace, because we're not going to forget who caused this. The Clinton Democrats are responsible, and all the Republicans are responsible. And then again, most Democrats and Republicans are responsible because they're all living in some strange and bizarre Fellini film of surrealistic reality. The progressives will survive, most of them, because they'll be smart enough to have planned in advance what to do. Oh, and by the way, did I tell you that some of the hedge fund billionaires are already doing what the progressives are? They've been reading the blogs and getting in country and farmland because people got to eat, but people are not going to be able to get the food. How are you going to have a truck when the truck has one truckload of gas? What are you going to do with it? Where are you going to take it? How are you going to buy anything? Credit card? Forget that. Banks? Going to take money out of the bank? I don't think so. There won't be a bank in America that can give you a penny, because how are they going to record? How are they going to know? How are they going to open up the vault? Oh, did we forget that vault's also based upon a magnetic code that's based upon electrical input? One good thing, a lot of bureaucrats won't have to fake working anymore, because, gee whiz, they can just sit there and look at each other and grin until they need food and water also. So that's the reality. If you understand the problem and how severe it is, then you understand what will happen to our society when people no longer have food and water. Those who stocked up will be able to survive longer than those who haven't, or until something is fixed. There won't be any traffic lights. There won't be any air conditioning. If it happens in the summer, you're going to see a lot of people dying. If it happens in the winter, in a storm, how do you think your heat from those boilers? Hot water heat, baseboard heat, it's all based upon electrical current. Imagine the winter we just went through, and imagine how many people upstate are going to freeze to death in cold climates. Unless, of course, they have taken plans. There are things you can do, but if you live in the city, it's a lot more challenging, because the next thing you're going to be faced with are gangs. Tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people who have the advantage, because as long as they get food, they can survive. And who's got the food? Everyone who doesn't have a weapon, who might have stored some. Remember when the earthquake came in Haiti and I said we should not be approaching disaster relief the way we're doing it, because the people will not get either the water or the food, and there won't be any building that will be done. It will all be confiscated by gangs. Well, guess what happened? It was all confiscated by gangs. Exactly as I said, it's exactly what happened. I have friends all over Haiti. I know what everything's going on in Haiti because I have a large network of people I work with. I can tell you all about the current president of Haiti, things you might not like to hear about him, but, and I'm sure he wouldn't want the world to know, but then again, that's not my business. But if you had the money, you could buy water. Now, hold on, wasn't that water that Bill Clinton and those people got down there? Yeah. You had to buy that water? Yeah. You had to buy food, and there were giant warehouses full of food and water? Yeah. Why couldn't the New York Times or 60 Minutes or someone go and see, hey, you've got a gigantic warehouse. Why isn't this food and water being given to the people who are starving and suffering and with dehydration, and their babies are having to drink water that's contaminated and then dying of diarrhea? And all the politicians knew it. Everyone knew it. There was no secret. But we didn't talk about it because we thought the only noble thing to do was say they're suffering, send money. It doesn't work that way in the real world. Again, there's the real story, the official story, and they're not the same. So what we have is we have weather patterns that are off the chart. We're refusing to acknowledge there's any relationship. We're refusing to acknowledge that we could prevent a disaster. There's time, and we have the resources. We do not have the political will because of the clowns in Congress, Democrat and Republicans in the White House. The worst of all is this White House. It is utterly incapable of making responsible decisions because of lack of political will, and the average American is simply tuned out to this. This is too much for me to handle. Too negative. I can't handle this. Get me over to the Jersey show. I got to watch something that's more dysfunctional than me so I can not feel bad about my life. Well, it doesn't work that way. So I'm just giving the update on it. Anyone considered unusual that you had all these hurricanes and now we're going to have the most ever in the United States this summer? Or tornadoes? The strange cosmic ray hotspots stalking the southern skies? That's out of the New Scientist just yesterday. Quote, cosmic rays crashing into the earth over the South Pole appear to be coming from particular locations rather than being distributed uniformly across the sky. Similar cosmic, quote, hotspots have been seen in the northern skies too, yet we know for no source close enough to produce this pattern. Quote, we don't know where they're coming from, unquote. University of Wisconsin scientist and colleagues. Magnetic portals connect Earth to the Sun, NASA scientist news. So this isn't some televangelist nut job telling you to get a sign and go walk around Times Square to draw some attention to your dysfunctional life. This is the best scientific minds in America and around the world saying we've got a problem and no one's paying attention. I wrote a commentary on this several years ago called Watching Katrina, and I see the same thing happening all over again. We know a problem exists. We refuse to do anything about it because we don't want to become uncomfortable in our thoughts. I'm going to be returning from overseas next week. When I get back into the city, I will be doing a whole, set aside a whole evening, because I've had thousands and thousands and thousands of emails. What do we do? Where do we live? Where do we go? What do we do? Blah, blah, blah. If I'm in the city, if I'm an old, if I'm in a nursing home, if I have kids, what do I do? What do I do? Okay. Rather than giving bits and pieces of the answer, I'll wait and I'll set aside an evening, a whole evening, and I'll lay out what I believe is a reasonable, responsible way of approaching this without any connection to the political reality we live in. Because if you wait for this president and this Congress to acknowledge the problem and do something about it, you're going to die or be suffering or be denied the opportunity. And I'd like to know what all those doctors, nurses who never protest anything, I consider this so, so limited in their capacity to speak out against these injustices, with few exceptions. I'd like to know what they're going to do when the electricity goes off in their hospitals and they see all their patients on heart-lung machines and all their patients in intensive care, all their operations. You're going to operate with candles? Who are you going to blame? How about looking in the mirror and blaming yourself? Those are my points, and I will continue to share them. A quick commentary from Bill McKibben, then I'm going to open this up for your comments. Now remember, what I discussed with my guest on this, you can read, or listen to, I should say, from yesterday's second half of my program. Go to progressiveradionetwork.com, download yesterday's show, and you'll hear it for yourself. And remember, this is real. This is real science by physicists and all the different experts saying, we better pay attention. Gee whiz. But didn't we come down this route when we said we had five bubbles a year and a half before the bubbles burst? Yeah. No one's done anything. Then we'll go to some phone calls. This is from Bill McKibben from WashingtonPost.com. Quote, caution. It is vitally important not to make any connections. When you see pictures of rubble like this week's shots from Joplin, Missouri, you should not wonder, is this somehow related to the tornado outbreak 3 weeks ago in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or the enormous outbreak a couple weeks ago at which together comprised the most active April for tornadoes in U.S. history? No, that doesn't mean a thing. Is it far better to think that these are isolated, unpredictable, discrete events? Is it not advisable to try to connect them in your mind with, say, the fires burning across Texas, fires that have burned more of America at this point this year than any wildfires have ever? Texas and adjoining parts of Oklahoma and New Mexico are drier than they have ever been in recorded history in the United States. The drought is worse than the Great Dust Bowl. But do not wonder if they're somehow connected. Did you wonder, you see, if you did wonder, you would also have to wonder about this year's record snowfalls and rainfalls across the Midwest, resulting in record flooding across the Mississippi region. Could somehow all this be related? And then you might find your thoughts wandering to, global warming, and to the fact that climatologists have been predicting for years that as we flood the atmosphere with carbon, we also start both drying and flooding the planet simultaneously. And since warm air holds more water vapor than cold air, that's why it happens. It's far smarter to repeat to yourself the comforting mantra that no single weather event can ever be directly tied to climate change. There have been tornadoes before and floods, and that's the important thing. Just be careful to make sure you don't let yourself wonder why all these record-breaking events are happening in such proximity. That is, why they have been unprecedented mega floods in Australia, New Zealand, and Pakistan in the past year. Why is it now that the Arctic has melted for the first time in thousands of years? No. Better to focus on the immediate casualties. Watch the videotape from the store cameras as the shelves are blown over. Look at the news anchorman standing in his little ego and looking at the rising river as the water approaches his chest. Because if you ask yourself what it means that the Amazon has just come through its second 100-year drought in the past 5 years, or that the pine forests across the western part of this continent have been obliterated by a beetle just in the past 10 years, well, you might have to ask other questions, such as, should President Obama really have just opened up huge swaths of Wyoming to new coal mining? Should Secretary of State Hillary Clinton sign a permit this summer allowing a huge new pipeline to carry oil from the tar sands of Alberta to the Texas Gulf? You might also have to ask yourself, do we have a bigger problem than a 4 gallon for a dollar of gasoline? Better to join with U.S. House of Representatives, which voted 240-184 this spring to defeat a resolution saying simply, quote, climate change is occurring, is caused largely by human activities, and poses significant risk for public health and welfare, unquote. Propose your own physics. Ignore physics altogether. Just don't start asking yourself whether there might be some relation amongst last year's failed grain harvest from Russian heat wave and Queensland's failed grain harvest from its record flood and France and Germany's current drought-related crop failures and the death of the winter wheat crop in Texas and the inability of the Midwestern farmers to get corn planted in their sodden fields. Surely the record flood prices, meaning increased food prices, are just freak outliers, not signs of anything systemic. It's very important to stay calm. If you got upset about any of this, you might forget how important it is not to disrupt the record profits of our fossil fuel companies. If worst ever then did come to worst, it's reassuring to remember that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce told the Environmental Protection Agency in a recent filing there's no need to worry because, quote, populations can adjust to warmer climates via a range of behavioral, psychological, and technological adaptations. I'm pretty sure that's what residents are telling themselves in Joplin today. End quote. Your thoughts. Give us a call. I'd like to hear your points of view. Our number, 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And by the way, I'm going to throw in one more before we go into our studio in New York. From Dennis Kucinich, saying no to permanent global war. My comment back, here's a holler back to you, Dennis. Dennis, are you talking alone in that big empty room of the House of Representatives? Is it just you and maybe two or three other people? Because it seems like you just passed the Patriot Act last night and the War Power Act, and you're giving the President of the United States unlimited authority to do anything he wants, including declare wars, which I thought, stupid me, I thought that was only granted to the House of Representatives. So who exactly is listening to you in the House, Dennis? Dennis Kucinich, quote, the House is expected to vote soon on a bill that hands over to the President Congress's constitutional authority to declare and authorize war, substantially altering the delicate balance of powers that the Founding Fathers envisioned. The annual reauthorization of the Department of Defense contains unprecedented and dangerous language that gives the President virtually unchecked power to take the country to war and keep us there. This bill significantly undermines the Constitution, the institution of Congress, and sets the United States on a path of permanent war. This fiscal year, the National Defense Authorization Act declares that the United States is in an armed conflict with not only al-Qaeda and the Taliban, but, quote, associated forces, unquote, and individuals and organizations and nations that support such forces. The president could then have the full legal authority to send American troops to engage in acts of war anywhere without constitutional required congressional authorization and consequently without any restrictions or oversight from the American people or Congress. This bill would also make permanent the degradation of law and human rights which have become Guantanamo. It imposes bans on the transfer of any detainee held at Guantanamo, including those who have been cleared of any charges. This means the United States would be forced to keep in prison men who are known to be innocent and no threat for life. This bill not only allows the imprisonment of innocent people, but could mandate that it happen. The bill also prevents use of Article 3, federal courts, for the trial of most terrorism suspects. This circumvents our system of justice and our protections under the Constitution, showing a lack of faith in U.S. law enforcement and courts, which are the constitutional venues for stopping terrorism. Our federal courts have a long history of trying terrorist suspects, while military courts are untested, lacking its legitimacy and of questionable effectiveness. Since 9/11, federal courts have prosecuted over 400 terrorism-related cases, while military courts have convicted only 6. It's as if the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan never happened. These wars cost thousands of lives of our men and women in uniform and perhaps a million civilian lives, with long-term costs approaching $5 trillion. Yet in light of the attempt to try to make permanent an authorization for war, it is as if the consequences of the wars we are in have not occurred. It's as if our humanitarian military intervention in Libya, which has helped create full-blown civil war and has ensnared us in yet another military stalemate in the region, never happened. It's as if centuries of evidence of ramifications and military overreach of empires never happened. It's as if the Constitution, which requires Congress to have a say in where and when we go to war and which guarantees U.S. citizens the right to fair and speedy trials, was never written. Congress must protect the American people from the overreach of any chief executive who is enamored with unilateralism, preemption, first strike, and the power to prosecute war without constitutional or statutory protections. Permanent global war is not the answer. It will not increase our national security. Far from ridding the world of terrorism, it will become a terrorist recruitment program. End quote, Dennis Kucinich. Okay, now you have two things to think about and call in and share your points of view. I'm Gary Nall, back in a moment, and you can call us again at an 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Please stay with us.
Like sweet morning dew, I took one look at you, and it was plain to see you were my destiny.
Have you with us, everyone? I'm Gary Nall. We're going straight up to the end of this hour with your calls now. No guests during this hour. We were going to have on Daniel Gardner, but we won't during this hour. This is too important. Let's take some calls and go into our studio where people are standing by there with your questions that you've been writing on askgary@garynall.com. Let's say hello to Al from Lynbrook. Hi, Al. You're on the air.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Doing
I just
great.
Want to say thank you for everything that you do. You've changed a lot of things in my life. And my basic questions are very simple. I heard you talking about these solar flares coming, and basically I do take everything you say very seriously. I'm thinking in the preparation stage, do you think it would be wise to get a solar, like a personal solar panel for solar electricity just in case? And number two is, if I'm going to start to save water, should I do an under the faucet one, like the one you sell, or should I get like a standalone that will do water as I can obtain it?
Let's wait till I have a chance to explain things in context, because I don't have enough time now. It's going to take me about 4 hours.
Yeah, I want to be there, Gary, so please let us
okay,
know when it's available.
Don't, as you know, as anyone who listens, I don't like superficiality. I want to do it in depth so that you walk out of a room knowing, here's what I got to do. Here's what it's going to cost me. Here's what will work. Here's what won't work. Because if you don't know about putting a piece of silver in your water could go bad. You can't store it. I don't want to go through why you can't store it in plastic. I want to do it all at once. So we talk about water. We talk about food. Which foods? How much food? Where to store it? What temperature? How do you keep that? What to do with it? What kind of solar? What is the best kind of solar? Will solar fry out if it's on the same electrical grid? Because solar goes to electric. So how do you deal with that and turn that off so you're on a pure backup generator? Let's not deal with this piecemeal. Let's do it intelligently and comprehensively, all right?
That's why I love you, Gary. Thank you. Hopefully I'll be able to make it.
You will. I'll be back. I'll be coming in from Europe next week. Okay, thanks.
Gary, have a great time. Be safe. I love you. Thank you.
Thank you. Mila from Queens. Hi, Mila.
I'm from Bangladesh. I just finished writing an article for my newspaper in my country, in Bengali. I just finished writing what you just said. If you want, there was a 26-page story in National Geographic this May issue about Bangladesh. If you want to see, if we want to see and understand what 300 years of industrial capitalization has done to the world, Bangladesh is the picture where people can go and see what is happening. There are 3,000 people per square mile. And by the end of 2050, half of the country is going to be under the water, and it's going to be 10,000 people per square mile versus we have 87 people in America per square mile. And the Washington, there will be a better world without the Washington. And we have taken back because of Washington and the European invaders. We have taken this world in 300 years. We have taken it back 10,000 years or even farther. I just watching a history, Lost Civilization this morning in the National Geographic channel, and I see what we have done to this world and how people are so uneducated, irresponsible, and these people here in the most sophisticated and the richest country in the world are more dumb than people that lives in the third world, like such as my country. Your comment?
Well, first, I would like for you to send over the article so I can post it today on progressiveradionetwork.com. We go all over the world. I want all the progressive minds in all the countries. Do you realize half the people listening right now are listening in more than 180 countries around the world? These are people who want inside information and alternatives. They're willing to be proactive and responsible. Thank you for your call. I appreciate your input. Please send the article so I can post it for people to read. I'm Gary Knoll. Into our studio now, where we have standing by, we have Jason, we have Elizabeth, and on the phone, I was just told we have Dr. Howard Robbins. Let's start with Howard. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Gary.
What's up, Howard?
Well, we had some calls after the show on Monday, and I just wanted to say a few things and clear a few things up, and I thank you for giving me the chance. First of all, I want people to know that when we had the Healing Center over on 72nd and Broadway, we did some amazing things there, and we're still doing them today, just not in the same exact way. I mean, we saw conditions that, and we fixed conditions that no one else has been able to touch. Hepatitis B and C, herpes in all forms, chronic fatigue syndrome, whether it's caused by the mononucleosis, Epstein-Barr virus or the cytomegalovirus, rheumatoid arthritis, even osteoarthritis we've improved in almost every single person, heart problems of all kinds, multiple sclerosis and oh my God, just so many different conditions. Lyme disease. There we were very big with Lyme disease and candidiasis. These were just some of the many things that we saw. But what I was reminded of, and you'll remember this, remember there was a patient of ours by the name of Ed. Ed was an older man. I don't want to give his last name, but he was an engineer, and he had serious heart problems. And I remember coming downstairs on my way out because he had come up to find
Ed
out
Finkelstein.
About what was... Okay.
That's his name, Ed Finkelstein. I remember him. Because he was too sick to come up to the office. I went down and sat on the stoop to talk with him for several hours.
That's where I found you, coming out of the office that night. You were there talking with him, and he was very skeptical. And Ed, you know, being an engineer, was very skeptical, and he went. And I challenge all the listeners, if they want to also, go to PubMed, our National Library of Medicine. Type in intravenous ozone therapy in search. And you'll come up with dozens of articles from scientific peer-reviewed articles from around the world showing how ozone has been used to treat such a huge variety of conditions. It's mind-boggling. Now, I remember you talking with Ed because he didn't want to do the therapies, but you convinced him and challenged him to look into things. And finally, he broke down and came in and started doing the therapy because he was going to die from heart disease. Maybe 6 or 8 months, we completely reversed his heart problems. We got him back and got him so healthy. He joined our running club. He started running, and he started winning races in his mid to late 70s. He was a national champion in his age group. He was, champion of, you know, sportsman of the year in his age group here in New York.
He was athlete of the year for 5 straight years at the Metropolitan Athletic Congress. That's the 24,000 competing or 30,000 competing athletes in New York City. New York Road Running Club Outstanding Athlete of the Year. And USA Track and Field National Senior Athlete of the Year, 5 straight years. But his wife, Dolly, also began the same protocol, and she trained, and she became the outstanding female athlete. And together they were racing all over America and winning every race.
She was even more skeptical until you talked with her, because she was a nurse, and she was even more skeptical about these things, which is natural and reasonable for people to be skeptical about, you know, these alternative therapies. But once she, you know, gave in and opened her mind and tried doing these things, she saw the benefits that were there, and look at the results. But if it weren't for you, now, by the way, you remember, and I don't know the listeners know this, so I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm going to... You refused to take any money, and you were major, without a doubt, you were the power and force behind the healing center there. And you refused to take any money, but instead you put whatever monies that would do you back into the healing center to pay for all the different therapies that the people were getting. And, you know, we worked with a group of people that weren't just doctors and therapists. They were really healers that were doctors and healers that were therapists.
Okay.
And that's
Howard, I got to get back into the studio. I appreciate you, you know, sharing that with us.
If anybody has any questions, would like to talk about this, I'm more than happy to discuss it with them if they call me at 212-581-0101. That's 212-581-0101. Call up, tell me what your problems are, and let's see if we can help you.
Okay, Howard Robbins. Let's go ahead and say hello to Jason, and also we have in studio in New York City, we have Elizabeth. Jason, we'll start with you. How's it going there?
Hey, good afternoon, Gary. Well, I got some good news. I know you didn't stay around last week when you won your 1,500-meter race and won the championship there, but I got information from them that you have the second fastest time in the 3,000-meter in your age group in the whole United States. It's an excellent achievement, so they just wanted to let us know that after last week. And this is not the only category, but you have also many awards in the other race categories, like the 15K and the mile. So they wanted to let us know that since you didn't stick around last week to accept your championship.
Okay, well, thanks. So I don't have time to stick around. I'm traveling. Okay, let me get over real quick. I want to say hello to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, you're reading the mail from people around the United States. Let's take on a few of their issues.
Yes, we've received a call here from an economist who says that he's been listening in secret to Progressive Radio Network and your show for over 6 years. But he dare not mention it in his office because it's a very orthodox office. He's asking, if you were to sum up in an argument as to why we're all in the economic crisis together today, what would be the main reason? Simply, the whole financial crisis is caused by what? Because the media, etc., have totally oversimplified it. And he is about to give a very important lecture, and he would like to know what your insights are, please, if you could provide those and touch upon what he may not be aware of.
First and foremost, I would have to start with the Financial Service Modernization Act of 1999. Why? Because that simply repealed the Glass-Steagall Act of 1933, which meant that there was a prohibition between banks from offering investment in commercial banks and insurance services. And you can blame Citibank and Travelers Group that came together in this humongous merger, and it was Clinton working with the Republicans who signed the legislation that repealed it. That's when casino capitalism really took hold. Then you have off-the-books accounting. For example, if I ask you, Elizabeth, how much are you worth? Tell me your total assets and your total liabilities. And you say, okay, I'm worth $5,000 in assets, and I have $1,000 in debt, so I have a net worth of $4,000. Banks, however, can keep off the books everything that would embarrass them, like toxic assets, they frequently keep off the books. Their position in derivatives, which could bankrupt them, they keep off the books. What their position is in credit default swaps, which could be $1 trillion or more, they keep off the books. So we have no way of knowing the actual liquidity, the actual solvency of a bank. Now remember, you can have liquidity and still be in a position where you have so many debts that could make you go bankrupt if they go wrong, that liquidity doesn't mean anything. So all this off the books accounting. Then you have what is called CFTC. And this is the Commodity Future Trading Commission. And it was during Bill Clinton's presidency that they wanted to, in effect, stop the regulation of derivatives. And it was Robert Rubin and Fed Chair Alan Greenspan that led that. So without any regulation of derivatives, the derivatives are the gigantic boulder standing that's resting right above our head. We should outlaw all derivatives. We haven't. Then you have the Commodities Future Modernization Act, which has not done anything except support the financial industry. And we can thank Senator Phil Graham for that. Then you have the Securities and Exchange Commission, which is virtually toothless. It does nothing to properly regulate investment banks. It allows voluntary regulation, but it doesn't go in there and show people what they have to do. And we can thank the efforts of Goldman Sachs and its then-chair, Henry Paulson, for making sure that the lower capital requirements were put into place. Then the Basel II weakened capital reserve requirements for banks, because ideally you should have a bank only able to give 3 times what it has in actual reserves. Now it could give 40 times what it has, 100 times what it has. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares. And then you have all this predatory lending, which allowed liar loans and allowed people who did not have the capacity in a crisis to finance their homes and businesses to get money in unlimited amounts. And then, of course, you blocked all of the people who were responsible from being indicted and investigated. And then you should ban Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac because they entered the subprime and they should not have been allowed in the subprime. These are government-sponsored enterprises, and they did end up taking on substantial subprime assets, about almost $60 billion. And we shouldn't have allowed that. And then right now we're just engaged in mega mergers where one person buys another person and then you don't have competition. The very thing they say we should have in America, competition, we really don't have competition. We have monopolies. And Wall Street's responsible for funding the monopolies. They fund this. Well, don't we have antitrust, restraint of trade? No, we do not have antitrust. We have no restraint of trade, especially in the last 30 years. So now you have people who buy corporations, buy banks, load them up with debt, and now they're too big to fail. And finally, we have an utterly, completely, totally, irreversibly corrupt credit rating system that gave AAA ratings to companies and financial plans that should not have been given those ratings. But who paid them? The very companies they were rating. Well, isn't that a conflict of interest? Palpable conflict of interest. So if you want to know how we got into this mess, look at all those together, and that's what got us into this mess. Okay, and I want to thank you.
Thank you.
And I want to thank those people who are listening to this hour of our program, and more to come. Please stay with us.
Gary Null Show is produced in our New York City studio. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matt Bogart. All shows are archived by Joe Kemp. The chief archivist is Sharon Pride, and the program director is Jason Taubenfeld.